Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. And yes, my guest is comfortably, I hope, seated with me here in the studio. I have got Mr. Emmanuel Ogbeche, who is the NUG Chairman of City Council, with me in the studio on the roundtable today as we look at some of these big stories we're talking about. You're welcome.
Thank you, Kim. Good afternoon.
Always a delight to have you in the studio on the roundtable.
Well, I'm excited being in here.
Thank you.
Outside is blistering hot.
I know. I was just sharing with them my experience. You know, just went out for a few seconds and I was confused. My brain started glitching. The heat is intense.
Lucky
and the sun is scorching. All right. Starting off with some of the stories and... the first situation is still biting hard in spite of it. We're still hoping for some respite in the near future, but we'll get to that story in a bit. So let's look at an interesting development. You see, like, it's a season of courts sacking people at the moment, because we have this report that the Federal High Court in Abuja has fixed Friday to deliver judgment in a suit filed by the People's Democratic Party against Ben Ayade, Cross River governor. The PDP are taking Ayade to court seeking an order directing him and his deputy, Ivara Isu, to vacate office after their defection to the All Progressive Congress. Ayade was elected on the platform of the PDP in 2015 and 2019, but defected to the APC on the 20th of May 2021, along with his deputy, on Monday. Taiwo Taiwo, a judge, sacked 20 lawmakers from Cross River State who defected alongside the governor to the APC. And in his ruling, the judge said, a day must surely come when elected officials must either resign from their office or ask the people who voted for them before defecting to other political parties instead of defecting to another party without recourse to the law and the citizens. Judge Taiwo is also the judge in the suit seeking Ayade's removal. And it's pretty detailed what we have here. The Ebonyi State governor has since appealed against the judgment. So putting him in the same situation with the Dave Umahi at the moment, appealing it, and we get to see what's happening. And it's pretty interesting the direction PDP is going with, you know, going to court to saying you can't leave our party and leave with our vote and the likes of it, because PDP is also a beneficiary of people moving into their party, like we saw with Edo State Governor when he had a fallout with his party and moved to the PDP and several others. So it's quite interesting that they've decided to go this route. And I hope to God it means that they've also decided to internally regulate themselves, not to take defectors into their parties also. But what do you make of this ruling? We're looking at the entire lawmakers of the state also.
Well, I think we need to get some clarity here.
All right.
Actually, 18 lawmakers.
18?
Yes.
Okay, 18 of them.
Yes, and two... House of Reps, you know. So we need to gain that clarity. It isn't just state lawmakers, but also we have two other lawmakers, you know, House of Reps members that defected from the PDP to the APC. Now, also, there is nothing wrong if you think that the ideology of a political party no longer suits, you know, your vision and aspirations. But you must do it within the context of a non-elective period. It is not proper, because in Nigeria, the law recognizes that it is the symbol of the political party that is being voted for. Let me give you an instance. Here, at the last area council election in Abaji, the APC has no candidate up till now. But the party was on the ballot, because there was contention as to who actually owns, you know, the ticket for the APC, and the APC won, and the returning officer said, we cannot declare who the authentic, you know,
person is
who owns the ticket. Mm. The ticket belongs to the party. That is what the constitution recognizes. Mm. We do not have independent candidacy for you to, you know, say, okay, I'm an independent candidate. And when you also look at the certificate of return that is given to you, it's clearly stated that, for instance, Kimberly Nwachukwu of the People's Democratic Party yeah. has been returned. You understand? So it bears the insignia of the political party.
Mm.
Ordinarily, if it were just about the individual counts, yes. That means it's your picture alongside that of the political party that should be on the ballot.
Mm.
You get it? I agree with Justice Tawo Tawo. There need to be sanity in the system. And there are constitutional guarantees or provisions on why, on how you can, you know, leave your party to some other party. That when there is a division at the national leadership of your party,
yeah.
you remember when we had NPDP and PDP, you understand? Mm. And when the division is manifest, then you have grounds for you to yeah. defect. And the idea that lawmakers will defect alongside a governor when both of you were not elected on the basis of being siblings, you're just members of the same party. That isn't the reason why you were elected.
Mm.
The governor isn't the reason why you were elected. You understand? A governor leaves one political party, and you find the lawmakers
deciding
in the
state,
like a herd, to
go with him.
You know, like a congress of baboons, and they will just move alongside the governor.
It's a sweeping move to say we're leaving this party with whatever intention it is, either to cripple it or based on the internal situation,
you know,
within the party.
And it happens in states most often than not. And what does that tell you? That the governors are basically in charge of an arm of government that should ordinarily regulate the executive.
Mm.
The legislators have sold their birthright for a mash of porridge. That is what it simply means. Have we not seen at the last attempt at constitutional amendment where autonomy was granted to state houses? What happened? The governors lobbied same members of the state houses of assembly and they rejected autonomy for themselves.
Mm.
Even when you say, okay, their salaries, emoluments, and wages are on the first line charge, they still feel compelled, you understand,
yeah.
to dance to the tune. Ordinarily, the executive should be at your beck and call because the constitution has given you enormous powers. You know, there
to put them in check.
Yes, to put you in check. With your oversight alone, it is enough reason for any governor to be wary of the state of house of assembly. But what have we seen?
I mean, you know, when you were talking, my mind went to, I think it was Zamfara State, where the governor left, the deputy used to, and he was impeached. So he tells you how it works.
Exactly.
Between who moves and who's loyal enough to move with who. At least for the governor and the deputy, you say it's a Siamese situation where they voted together, but not with the state house of assembly.
Yeah, but we must continue to test the laws. You remember it was Atiku Abubakar as vice president to President Olusegun Obasanjo when he decamped, you know, to ACN then, that they wanted to remove him from office.
Yeah.
He went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. That is why a governor today can decamp and his deputy will say, I'm not going with you, and you can't remove him. Mm. You know, let's forget the charade that happened in Zamfara, where all things were done on the same day and at the end of the day. But I am optimistic that matter has been challenged, and the deputy governor will return to his seat, and whatever it is he has lost will be given back to him.
Mm.
We must continue to test the laws. Now, as to Obaseki and those that left their party to the PDP, they were not elected on the platform of the APC. Obaseki's second election, he was elected as a candidate of the PDP.
Oh, yeah, it was his first tenure that he defected. And it was convenient for him because he went there, he was handed the ticket, denied certain people who have been with the party all the while.
Well,
APC, PDP did not hesitate then to take him in because they know the chances were high with him.
Yes.
So they didn't fight him.
And, you know, remember at that time, Oshiomhole also had a problem at the center
yeah.
in the APC. there was that question of, was Oshiomhole still in office? You know, they were back and forth and all of that. So there is no brainer as to Obaseki's position. That's why the APC has not approached the court, has only been threatening. But we need sanity. If you run on the ticket of a political party and you are persuaded that it is not because of that party that you won your election, all you need to do, or you ought to do, is resign and go to a new political party. Let INEC have a rerun election. You understand? Test your strength. Demonstrate that it was because of my goodwill
that you won the vote.
That you won the vote.
Well, if it's that strong, I would have seen a bit more of them lobbying for an amendment to allow for independent candidates, because you start to wonder how much popularity, how much political muscle does an individual have without the political parties. Well, when we do get to that future, when independent candidates are allowed, you know, we will try it out. But for now, you have to run under the platform of a political
party.
Well,
it's a process. I remain convinced that in time, will find, you know, that happening, and people could actually win elections without necessarily belonging to a political party. But it's even difficult, even in the U.S.
Yeah.
That is why you've never seen an independent, you know, emerging, even in the House, in both chambers of the U.S. Congress. You hardly find independent. They win on the ticket of either Democrats or Republicans. Then people like Senator Sanders, Bernie Sanders, can choose that I have become an independent. But when you see, when he wants to vote, he votes with Democrats. He doesn't, you know,
it's tricky. And we know how politics is here. Running for an office is pretty expensive. So an individual coming would need some very intense financial muscle to actually beat people coming under the platform of a party. That's a hurdle would cross when we get to that.
Well, I'm not optimistic about that, because if you look at the new Electoral Act 2022, campaign financing has seriously gone up. You understand? Where used to be 1 billion has gone to 5 billion for president, where used to be 500 million has gone to 1 billion, and you begin to wonder. And you and I know that more often than not, you spend triple or you quadruple that amount during campaigns. Because there are individuals, there are shadowy groups and ghost groups that all these politicians hide under. You know, what are we seeing today?
Yeah.
In the PDP and APC, groups are buying firms for ordinarily wealthy and rich
individuals. We don't interrogate it.
And some of these are young men that have no verifiable source of livelihood. Yesterday we saw a group buying firm for a certain individual in PDP for 40 million. And when I looked, you know, at those, at the people involved, you just know that, oh, they have been giving money behind the scene to come and do all of this. So it becomes pretty difficult, you know, that we will ever see where an individual will stand as an independent and successfully run a campaign, when even the law that should check against humongous sums of, you know, money being spent for electioneering is not helping matters. Go and look at the Electoral Act 2022. It doesn't help. You know, for you to be a councillor, a local government chairman, you're going
a
to
lot
spend
of money, yeah.
Pretty soft. That is legally. I'm not talking about extra legal expenses. The one that the act
approves
is crazy.
It is. And, you know, it was a conversation we had when we're talking about the amendment of the Electoral Act as to how exorbitant it is. You know, between buying the form and the entire electoral process. And we know that there's no proper accountability on the part of the political party and the individuals to ascertain if they actually spend within the approved amount. Like you mentioned, there's definitely a lot of spending done that nobody checks the books to be sure that. In some climate in the U.S., I mean, these things are properly interrogated to be sure that you're not spending way beyond what is approved and you're not getting money from individuals beyond a certain amount of money, so
now,
that you're not loyal to them.
The law, and Kim, you can donate 50 million to a political party without questions being asked, because that is the law. That is the maximum that the law
for an individual
allows. Let me say minimum 50 million for an individual.
You're saying 50 million like it's small money. That's a lot of money.
I'm telling you. So you imagine that the law that should protect the system is enabling all sorts of expenses. 50 million is what you as an individual can donate to a candidate or a political party. A money bag can easily pick 10 of his friends. 50 million each. That's 500 million.
And nobody's going to ask, oh, can this kid give 50
problem,
million?
The challenge is that INEC lacks even the capacity because by the requirement of the law, political parties are supposed to submit their audited accounts to the INEC for the INEC to look at the books. That is why some persons who have been conversing that INEC should be unbundled. You understand? Well, let's go to other stories.
All right. So, yes, the story that took us this far is the fact that the so-called has sacked the Cross River State lawmakers and they're appealing the judgment. Also, we saw how the governor is involved in all of it and his deputy makes it quite interesting. We want to see the change this would bring about, if it's going to bring any change. I know with the Borno State government, a lot of analysts and lawyers who say it will not hold up in court. They will tell you you cannot set any precedent because we have a case of Atiku and all of that. You know, legal minds will bring it from different perspective, but it's left for us to see how far it travels. It will definitely get to the Supreme Court.
Yes,
and a definite statement and position will tell us where we move to from this point.
To test the
exactly.
And if you saw the new governor, I was happy. He looked mollified yesterday when he was speaking at the press conference. Mm-hmm. You understand? That haughtiness, that being...
It humbled him a bit.
Yes, I'm an emperor and all of that. It was no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the essence of the law.
All right. Let's go to a man who apparently a few days back was number one in his state and living a good life. But shortly after he handed power to Professor Chukwuma Soludo, he's become a... Well, I don't want to say a client, but a host of the EFCC. A visitor of the EFCC. EFCC is their host. He's his host at this point in time. Talking about... a former governor of Anambra State, Obiano, and the FCC saying they've granted him bail after 5 days in EFCC detention. However, we're waiting for the update as to how he meets the condition and be let go on that ground. The chairman of the EFCC, Abdul Rashid Bawa, has disclosed that former Anambra State Governor Willie Obiano has been granted bail. Obiano, who is under investigation for 42 billion naira fraud, has been in the EFCC custody since Thursday when he was arrested at Murtala Mohammed International Airport, Lagos State, while attempting to leave for the United States hours after handing over to his successor, Professor Chukwuma Soludo. But speaking to journalists on the sideline of the 5th Annual General Assembly meeting of the Network of National Anti-Corruption Institutions in West Africa in Abuja on Monday, Bawa explained that the commission was waiting for him to perfect his bail condition. And asked why the commission has kept the former governor in custody beyond the period allowed by the constitution, Bawa said nothing political about the arrest of the former Anambra State governor. He has been granted bail. The anti-graft agency boss insists there was nothing political about it. There's nothing, he kept repeating, but we're just doing what we have to do. So 42 billion naira fraud is what he's been investigated for, as he spends, 5-6 days now in the FCC custody. And Obiano will be grilled by detective over alleged misappropriation of public funds, including 5 billion Shopee, 37 billion Naira security vote, which was withdrawn in cash. And it was gathered that part of the fund were also allegedly diverted to finance political activities in the state. The ex-governor was picked up at about 8:30 p.m. on Thursday, hours after he handed over power to his successor, Charles Soludo. He was heading out of the country shortly. Well, he's been on the shortlist, so a watch list. I bet he sensed that he needs to scurry out of the country before they swing into action.
My worry about Governor Obiano, former, is that for a man that inherited tremendous goodwill in terms of what former Governor Peter Obi left behind. You know, he left the state on a very solid ground, and only for Obiano 8 years later to have decimated the account. If you go by what Governor Soludo, Chukwuma Soludo,
yeah.
You know, gave yesterday, that just about 300 million was found, was left in the account, and with almost 75 billion in debt.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't speak well.
Not at all.
And I wonder why he was so much in a hurry to leave, you know, the country. One would imagine that after having served your people for 8 years, it was only natural for you to stay behind, for people to come and say thank you for...
Do Thanksgiving for serving successfully.
You understand? So the manner in which he wanted to leave the country was suspicious.
Mm.
And also for the EFCC, if he has been on the watch list and you have access to all of these facts in court now, you know, one will expect that the EFCC will approach a competent court, you know, to keep the and file charges immediately.
Mm. No, but he had immunity if we're looking at the immunity
when
window.
When he left office, after 48 hours, there was nothing stopping the EFCC from filing charges against him. Those charges could be amended with time. You understand?
Mm.
It is not enough to arrest him.
But wasn't it the same day it happened? You want to look at the time window. And if he was leaving the country, if we had time to
no,
do all of
I
those...
No, I said when he was arrested, 48 hours later,
okay.
It was enough for the EFCC to charge him to court. You understand?
Yeah.
With whatever facts they have. Facts, not in court, because I'm not certain about what they have. And you apply for amended charges eventually, you know, when the case commences proper.
Mm.
You know, the idea of telling us now, oh, he's been granted administrative bail and you have not been able to fulfill those bail conditions isn't good enough. But one thing I must give to the EFCC chairman is the speed at which he has reacted to the leaked video. They have told
yes.
us, the officer, because that was professionally wrong. It
Very
was gross indiscretion. And this isn't what we want. Media trial and trying to show us, oh, look
the
at...
The whole sensationalism, I mean, with his red shorts and the pink or red. And I looked at
For
it and I'm like,
now,
should
we
have?
Seen, you know, just parading...
last time we saw it was Magu's time. Magu
yes,
was famous for sensationalism.
Just work professionally. Get the convictions when your case is solid. That is what Nigerians want. Not about telling us about bras, earrings, and who is under detention and what the person is going through. You understand? It doesn't. The optics were very wrong.
I quite agree with you that there's a major shift in the operation of the EFCC with Bauer coming on board, Abdulrashid Bauer,
there
from
is,
when Ibrahim Magu was there. With Ibrahim Magu, there was a lot of show in front,
you know,
and nothing much happens. It fizzles out so fast.
You know, effect, and that was all.
Mm. Where is he now, by the way? The man
he's
Ibrahim
in
Magu.
The police, somewhere in one obscure department.
All right. Well, obscurity, we'll stay there for a bit and maybe one day decide to run for office and we'll forget about all the indiscretion
yes,
and if he ever gets convicted or not.
Institutional memory in this country, you know, we just flow with the tide, with the moment.
Mm.
We don't want to interrogate, you know, facts of history and make people account for it.
Mm.
That is why we find certain individuals calling themselves statesmen, people that ordinarily shouldn't be regarded as, you know, as such. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Really is. Let's look at one more story and then we'll get to the phone line to get to hear from you in a bit. Mr. President was in Lagos today and inaugurated a 3 million metric tons Dangote fertilizer plant in Lagos. The inauguration took place at the Lagos President inaugurated the 3 million metric tons Dangote fertilizer plant in Lagos. The inauguration took place on Tuesday at Lagos Free Trade Zone, Lekki. The president said the project is in line with the government's drive to ensure food sufficiency in the country, and he said it's a demonstration of enhancing the social development of the country, also why commending Dangote fertilizer team. And the president assured that his government is focused on providing enabling environment for the private sector to thrive, and we're partnering with the private sector through tax credit scheme on road construction in the country, rehabilitating rail lines for ease movement of goods, And on his part, Dangote, President and Chief Executive Officer of Dangote Group, expressed delight at the success of the fertilizer plant and said the plant is the largest in Africa, the second largest urea plant in the world. And said products from plants have reached the African market and across Brazil, India, Mexico. It's an ambitious project that will reduce unemployment in Nigeria. He said low fertilizer usage have been the reason for low yield of agriculture products in the country, and the goal is to make fertilizer available in quantity for our farmers, and will roll out initiatives that will transform the agri sector for all. This will boost productivity, enhance output across the country, and went on to appreciate the CBN and other agencies of government for their support. Dangote Fertilizer Project Phase 1 is estimated to produce 3 million metric tons of urea per annum. And the project, according to Dangote Industries Limited, cost about $2.5 billion. Said the capacity of the plant will be expanded to produce multi-grades of fertilizer to meet soil, crop, climate-specific requirement for the African country. It's quite an ambitious one. It's huge. Appreciating the CBN, I mean, on that front, Dangote has been very fortunate to get the support of one government after another. If we're looking at its refinery, we're well invested, thanks to the CBN. Enough for us to want a stake in it, to say, oh, well, dude, we support significantly, we should have a stake in this. And I wonder how much stake we have in the fertilizer plant. But one thing is, the largest in the continent, the second largest urea fertilizer in the world. He's talking about employment. We'll get to see the capacity of people to can employ, but it's pretty good.
In other really, I will be singing hallelujah, you know, and trumpeting is all over the place. It's good. We're trying to bridge the gap, mm-hmm. because we've been importing fertilizer from Morocco.
Yeah, we have this MOU with them.
Yes,
I understand.
And with the scarce foreign exchange issue, I think it's a good one. But then there are also questions to be asked. Why is it that our economy seems to be tied to just one individual, one corporation? What if a chance something happens? Mm-hmm. What, you know, what's our fate? It's just like everybody keep drumming, oh, Dangote refinery is coming. I was expecting to hear, to get specifics. We're going to employ 1,000, then the value chain, you know, from the 1,000 is going to be like 10,000 more or 20,000 more. You understand, in terms of job creation, all of that. It isn't good enough that one individual, one corporation is getting all the waivers, is getting all the support. When you want to diversify, you do not put all your eggs in one basket. That is what seems to be happening. And for those that are shouting hooray about the Dangote refinery, there have been no road constructions. There have been no access, whether through the sea, you know, to transport the refined product. That means eventually Lekki could easily become another
apapa.
You understand? Where are the roads? Where are the arteries? You understand? We don't have a bridge that will just take it, you know, across the river to Ikorodu. We don't have.
But there's report that is investing also in that, because you understand.
Where is the construction? We some of us have been to that place. You understand? So when one individual on a TV station was talking about the artisans that are living within the Lekki area and they shouldn't, I just laugh. Because very soon you'll be seeing trucks. You understand? Are you going to go through Ekpe, then go through us Badagry, you know, and with all the traffic congestion on that road? What's going to happen? You know, the fertilizer is good, but we must also ask one significant question. Dangote seem to have the largest cement factory. What is the cost
of cement
per bag in Nigeria as against
Ghana
and other countries? It doesn't
make sense. So what's our advantage in having
Dangote?
What's
our advantage?
Here?
What's the comparative advantage? If we have the largest fertilizer, we're going to buy it at a far cheaper rate than when we import from Morocco. You understand? So questions need to be asked. Answers need to be given.
Well, on the forex front, there will be something for Nigeria in terms of what is required. It depends on also how he intends to operate.
Yeah, remember that he is also taking loans, foreign loans.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Even his refinery, even the deep sea port by the other group, you understand? They're all foreign loans.
But it's interesting with the man Dangote how deep he's gone into all the very significant, important sectors in the country. And, you know, I've been trying to read up on him and looking at other, you know, billionaires and see how they operate in the country and see how many sectors they've diversified into, and they're the critical players in that sector. Not a lot of people fall in the Dangote category, because you're talking from cement to agriculture to petroleum, which we know if you're building a refinery, by the way, has it the biggest, to food and beverages, to tomato processing plants, yes, and the likes of it. The guy's got his tentacles in every single sector, I promise you. Here, enough for you to just declare him lifetime president, you own this country. But he's a shrewd businessman, he's smart, he knows how to work one government after another. I admire that business aspect of him, but you also want to see what he does to the country and what he says about these industries where he's held them.
Well, the
monopoly in some aspect is,
yes,
one that you question.
Yes, you know that's the danger. Governments should know that monopoly isn't good for any economy, and that is exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Other competitors are being killed off, you understand? And if you continue like this, one man will simply own this country and could hold you to ransom. Just like big tech. Mm-hmm. He's holding whole governments, you know, to ransom.
Yeah.
They can decide to shut their means of communication, and governments around the world will be paralyzed. Mm. And that is what we saw, that, you know, once they shut down, like when Twitter went off, Facebook, can you imagine the disruption? Mm. So government ought to encourage other investors to believe in the Nigerian project and invest here.
Yeah, but you know, if particularly you're a pioneer on a large scale, on a different level, you'll definitely be given that window, you know, aside from the tax waivers, to say, we'll give you a few years to run this business, recoup your investment before a lot other players coming. I know it happened with the telecom when the first one came. They needed them to settle before licenses were granted to others. Those are some of the advantage you get.
Yeah, the license you give, you don't give to just an individual. You give to like two or three others. You understand? I say, okay, recoup your investment and allow other players after 10 years to come in. Look at what's happening with the discos and the gencos. It's for the same reason that we're suffering.
I can argue with that. Let's get to the phone line, shall we? 0700-951-0000 is the number to call. 1 minute only, please. Don't exceed the time. And women, if you can reach us via that number, you're permitted to call our WhatsApp number, which is 0809-9930-137. Except you know that you're a madam, a woman. Don't call the WhatsApp unless we have a network problem. Then we'll permit the men to call that number. So let's ensure that more women contribute. Let's hear this caller. Hello. Hello. Okay, let's try the next line. Hello. Hello? Okay, so apparently phone line is acting up. Now everyone can call the WhatsApp line, seeing that I noticed the look you gave me when I said that.
No, I'm happy when I hear women calling. Yesterday I was particularly excited. The very first caller was a woman.
Yeah.
And you understand. And I liked her argument, and I was just hoping that she will call regularly.
Yeah, I quite loved the presentation she made. And I think she was also spurred to call and contribute because we had a female analyst
in
the studio.
Yes, and Kevin was good.
She was awesome.
Please have more women on the round table.
Most definitely will. All right, so get to call us via WhatsApp, 0809-9930-137. We'll sort out the phone lines in a bit. While we're doing that, we'll allow you to call us on WhatsApp. The number is 0809-9930-137. Don't call the line. Call through WhatsApp. If you call the line, we'll not patch through to the studio, but WhatsApp. And if that is also proving difficult, feel free to call us up to send a message via WhatsApp to us. So let's get to hear from this caller. Hello.
Hello, Kim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, you all.
And kudos to our guest there.
Good afternoon.
We appreciate all your analysis. This is Odu, the future president. Let me start from where you stop, sir. On the issue of the commissioning of a Dangote business by the president. It's good, but I believe that is what governments will have president should have commissioned on behalf of the federal government, not president going to private business to go and commission it. Meaning that what has this government done in the last 7 years? Let's come to the issue of refinery, which he promised us in 2015. He said that the reason why he bring up the price of petrol is because he want to use the differential, meaning that is where Jonathan left it, 87 naira, that we use it to build the refinery. Apart from telling Nigerians that there's nothing like fuel subsidy. Fuel subsidy is a fraud, it's a scam. Now, 7 years down the line, Mr. President, this of petroleum cannot even provide even single, small, little refinery to solve our problem. Last week, his aide was apologizing on his behalf. I don't know what that apology has done to us now. I don't know why government will keep on, especially our leader, rather than to create a national wealth.
All right.
That the boaster will be in the enriching individual. I don't know what Nigeria has benefited from Dangote, apart from employment in the issue of pride in
right,
other African country. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Please, let's stick to the 1 minute clock so that I don't have to yank you off before you make your point. Please, let's just try as much as possible to do that. Okay, another call coming in via WhatsApp. Please call WhatsApp for now. We're having a little challenge with the phone lines. Hello. Hello. Good afternoon. You're welcome. Your name is?
Yeah. Lukman, calling from Lugbe.
Lukman from Lugbe, you're welcome.
Yeah, the last call, I made a very valid point. Respect to Dangote's commissioning of fertilizer plan. Just as he said, we expect that the government should be doing that kind of a thing because capitalists will remain capitalists and their focus is profit. They care less about this standard of living of the people. So Dangote jubilating that Dangote is building this, building that, it is not, I don't think is in the interest of Nigeria in a greater extent. So what we expect the government to do, because the money he used to build that thing, government too can get that money to build the same thing. You understand? Because individual can never be richer than government, especially in Nigeria. Nigeria has a lot of resources. So the government should do more. Instead of leaving it in the hands of Dangote, so that in the future will not be colonized by one man through the whole thing. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Let's hear another caller. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, the Oracle.
Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Good afternoon, our guest.
Good afternoon.
My name is Alassie. I want to appreciate you for your wonderful analysis. I want to start with the first topic about our justice. I want to appreciate Justice Taye Tawo. He will be the justice of the year because you can't just carry a market. If you are voting for a political party, you are not voting for a person. You vote for that logo of that party. So I see no reason why you just carry the mandate. Let's say you carry the mandate of APC to PDP. It's not done. I think the Supreme Court have to clear this. We want to see how the Supreme Court will rule against this. Then come to the issue of Dangote. Dangote have the largest cement company. How much are we buying this cement company? When I see people jubilating about Dangote refinery, he may decide not to sell his petrol product to Nigeria. So they shouldn't monopolize this into single person. Let there be competition. I'm telling you, if there's competition, things will, the price will crash down. But Dangote will decide that this is what he wants, and that is it. Ghana are buying cement cheaper than Nigeria. Why we have all the lime here in this country? Is it only him? They should allow other like Boa and other people to come into this business and see if this price couldn't crash down. Go to sugar. Everything has gone high. Most especially Dangote product. They are all high. They are beyond the reach of the common man. Let there be competition. Thank you. I appreciate.
All right. Thank you very much. But you understand that the cost of doing business has also gone high in Nigeria. That will reflect in the unit price of what you get. Boa already has, is it cement and sugar? I know they are neck-to-neck competitors at the moment. And it was even reported yesterday or two that their, is it cement factory was up in flame in Sokoto?
Yes,
I think
it was
Boa. Yeah. All right, let's get to hear this caller. And then Hello. Oh, dear. Turn off your radio. Oh, boy.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for that. Sorry.
Please turn it off. It's still on, or I would be forced to drop your call.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry for that interruption. Sorry. For the commissioning of Vilina Danko to refinery.
Mm.
Well, yes, sir. The nice one, because it's still in the country, but I wish it's one of the things he promised. Supposing that he go out to dinner, that is where he go to that to go and commission a refinery. I think the whole country will jubilate. So the way I've seen it, with many of us that have been hearing the news, is, you know, we have some group of friends we hear, we normally see. Nobody is getting happy, is happy that he's doing that. And he's supposed to send somebody to do that, just to go and watch, but as if he's the one that does it. Supposing today, now, like the Niger Delta site and others area where the product, the petroleum is stored. If one of the refineries is there today that is going there to commission, you will see everybody.